Welcome to our weekly Q&A show, where we answer submitted questions live on YouTube on Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Well, hello and welcome to our Tuesday Q&A show. This is a show I try to do every week where I answer questions that are submitted through ideally the Whitewater Guidebook website. I'll show you here. This is the website here. I'll make it bigger even. And if you want to submit a question, just go up here to Gear Garage and click ask a question or add a comment and enter your question here. I get questions occasionally through Instagram and all kinds of other places, and I don't check Instagram enough. And so if you want to ask a question, please don't ask it through Instagram. Please, if you put it in this website, it gets cataloged, it gets put in the queue. If it gets sent to me some other way, it might take months even to get back to you on the question. So with that, let's get started with the first question. And the first one's about dry suit shoes for big feet. Any recommendations on shoes to wear with a dry suit for folks with large feet? I wear a size 14 Astrals, but can't get them over my dry suit. So my recommendation would be try size 15 Astrals. Just go bigger. And maybe they don't make size 15 Astrals. Maybe that's the problem. But I usually go half a size or a size bigger when I wear my dry suit. So if they don't make size 15 Astrals, I'm not sure what to tell you. I have no other good answer. You're probably going to end up wearing wetsuit booties. That's my best guess. So try camping more with that one. That's the best I got. All right. Next question. Tricky boat repair location. Oh, geez. So that is tricky. This is probably an Avon boat. And that seam is really hard because you don't want to patch over that seam because air might leak. You might want to go. Sometimes you'll pull that seam back and then patch under it. But pulling seams back on old boats is brutal. Stuff here. Oh, here we go. I love the show and all you do. Such a great resource, blah, blah, blah. This is a tricky Hypalon boat repair question. A small hole. And by the way, everybody, I have a little bit of a cold, so I make coffee here and there. About a 16th of material before the edge in the tape. It's an older boat, so I don't really want to lift the tape. Yep. Should I put a patch over the thing, seam edge, or hope for the best, or for more part of the question looks like. Or should I put a larger patch over the hole with a patch edge bumping against the seam tape edge, and then put a smaller patch over the seam where the new patch and seam edge meet? Hope that's not confusing. No, this is a tough question. I see what you're getting at. So how do you patch this? And honestly, man, whatever you do is probably not going to work great, but I would probably put a patch up against that seam, like do a rainbow shape patch where one side is flat and the other part, like a half circle, rainbow, whatever. The other half goes over the top and have it just go right up against that. And then I would probably throw another patch over the entire thing. But man, that's tough. That's my best guess. Yep. Hopefully that answers that question. All right, next one. Here we go. Regarding desire for higher flotation rafting PFDs, I saw this model being used in lots of YouTube videos on some serious Russian rivers. Have you ever tested anything like this? Huh. Let me pull up this link really quick. I'm going to say I'm probably not going to be into a... Let me see if I can open this link. No, this has been tricky. Sorry, I don't have this ready. There we go. I'm going to say an inflatable PFD is probably a bad idea. I'm just going to go with that.
Did you open up the link?
I just figured it out.
What does it look like on your screen?
Are you watching right now?
Yeah.
So everybody, my friend Dan's over here. He's watching it separately. There's going to be a lag time. Okay. All right. Give me a second. Add. There we go. So this is it. So I think the idea is that you have a PFD that has some flotation, and then you press a button and all of a sudden you have a lot of flotation. So let's say when you're boating, the idea is with other ones is like a minimal flotation. Like there's some that have like 7 or 8 pounds. And once you click a button, you have like 20 pounds. What do you think, Dan? Yeah, I think it does. But when you fall out of a boat, you don't always have the ability to press a button.
Maybe it's like water.
It's not, I'm pretty sure. So I'm pretty sure I like the idea. It's awesome. I would say it's whatever this is not legal in the States. It doesn't, this is not U.S. Coast Guard certified. I would say someday if they had a PFD that had a minimum amount of flotation, like 16 pounds, and then you press the button, it got 30, I'd be into that. But you got to have the minimum amount of flotation. Hey, Jay, thanks for saying hi. Man, I wish I was on the Titan with you. That sounds fun. So I think for now, if it was me, I wouldn't go with this. I think this works on Russian expeditions where they have to, like, because for them, they're carrying stuff in like 20 miles. So they wanted an inflatable PFD, not to like inflate on the river when they want more flotation, so that they can have it be minimal volume for carrying it in and then inflate it when they're on the river. I don't think they use a partially deflated. Let's see. I think they are permanent inflated once you get the river. Yeah, exactly. So it's not like you're wearing a minimal flow PFD and all of a sudden it's like psh, when you hit the water. I think once you fill it up, it's full. Yeah. So I think in an effort to have higher flotation vests, I'm convinced we're just stuck at, if you want to be safe or responsible and have a higher flotation vest, the NRS Pro Guide, whatever, is a great PFD. If you want something cooler, we need to just send emails to the manufacturers and say, hey guys, how about making something cooler? Like, I think it's now in our hands to, as a community, to say, hey, NRS, Astral, Stolquist, whoever it is, how about you make something that has like 25 pounds of flotation and has cool pockets and is super cool? Dan, you're sitting right there. All right. I'm going to remove that. We're going to move on. Next question. Okay. It says topic inflatable PDDs, but something else. Just looking for a quick opinion on a raft. I watched quite a few of your videos. I'm currently running a 14 RMR. That's a Rocky Mountain raft, but I'm wanting to upgrade my boat. What would your thoughts be if I could pick any boat? I mean, it depends what you're doing. Running class 2 to 4 primarily. That's everybody. Multi-day trips. I mean, first of all, I've done a video about this. I'm going to say 16 foot. Get a 16 foot raft. It's if you're rowing. If you're going to paddle boat sometimes, then get like a 14 or a 15. But if you're mainly rowing, get a 16. If you could pick any boat, what would your thought if you could pick any boat? I would do the 16-foot wing Surge. I designed that boat. It's based on the Avon Pro, which is a classic boat. I would definitely go with that 16-foot NRS Surge. We run a lot of multi-day trips. Yep. We also like to pull the frame and run as a paddle boat. Well, you can – no, I mean, depend for the lock saw, you can – a 16-foot paddle boat's fine. So if you're thinking like the South Fork American, I probably wouldn't do a 16-foot paddle boat. But for the lock saw, that's a good paddle boat. I like Sotar Moravia, but I'm really thinking of a wing. But I have absolutely no opinion on one because I don't know anybody that has any. Sorry for everybody if I'm stumbling on my words today. I'm getting over a cold. So wing makes a great boat. They're really good at making boats. I think the downside of wing is that there's nobody at the factory or the company who knows much about whitewater. And so there are some things about the boats they're good, they're just not perfect. And when you talk to them, they don't always have the right answers about things because they're not experts in whitewater. They're experts at making boats. They make great boats. That 16-foot Surge, you'll be super happy with. The one bummer about it is the Thor attachment system, how the Thors attach. But they have a new system that I think – just ask them about the new system, and I think it's better. That's just my opinion. But you make your own opinion on that. Sotar makes a good boat. I think they're making better boats. I think they've had some quality issues for a while, but I haven't had anything for a while. So Sotar's great. Moravia, that's a great boat too. It's a little heavy. I think they've had some quality issues too, but I don't know. I'm not an expert on that either. So I like my RMR, but it rides really low when loaded and is heavy. Yeah, I mean, it's PVC. Those are heavy boats. The Moravia is going to be heavy too. So if you want light, you want to go Sotar or wing. They're both urethane, pretty light. I want something tough and low maintenance and will look sharp. That's the Sotar on the wing. I know you push a 16-footer. I don't. Do you mean I push it like I suggest people get a 16-footer, or that's what I actually run on the river? Because on the river, I run everything, all different sizes. I think a 16-footer is the best overall boat. And if you go buy a 14, in 3 or 4 years, you're going to wish you had a 16. And I think that because I've just had this conversation with so many people who get a boat too small, and then a couple years later, they're like, oh, now I need a bigger boat for my extra stuff and my friends that want to come. I just think a 16 is the best overall size for most people. Says, sorry, I can't read it because there's a thing in the way. Let me see if I can. Oh, there we go. 16 is pretty big for us since primarily just the two of us. I have to launch in some crappy spots by ourselves. Yeah, depends on what your definition of crappy. So if you don't want a 16, get like the Wing 14-6, the Williamson. That's a sweet boat. Or get like a Sotar 14 or 15. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to want a 16 at some point. You're going to be like, oh, man, I wish I just got the 16 to begin with. So I guess to answer your question, I'd probably go for you with a Sotar or a Wing 16. And I think Wing makes a better boat. I think Sotar, the people there know more about boating. And so you can talk with whitewater people if you call Sotar, where you can't talk about with whitewater people when you call Wing. That's a kind of a big difference.
It doesn't like crappy spot scream like light boat and easy to like go over rocks and stuff.
Doesn't crappy boat scream
like? No. Like light, like crappy put-in spots scream like light boat and like easy to roll over rocks.
Yeah, like a Sotar or a Wing.
Right.
Yeah. So if you, I mean, that's the thing is like, I don't always have the full information here because it says we launch in some pretty crappy spots. I launch in places where we're lowering rafts down cliffs with sharp rocks everywhere all the time. That, to me, that's just a normal Tuesday. So is crappy just mean like the boat ramp ends and you have to carry it 3 feet? Or does crappy mean there's no boat ramp? I don't know what your definition of crappy is. So, but I can tell you with the Wings are going to be, in my experience, the Wing's going to be a little bit more durable than the Sotar. So if we lower Wings down cliffs with sharp rocks, and we're bashing them on things, and we haven't had a problem yet. So if I'm with durability, I'm going to give a slight edge to Wing. Okay. All right. Next question. Zach was wondering if you had any information on how you have fixed your GoPro to the rafts during a grand trip. Looks like PVC in some manner, but I couldn't find a clear shot of it anywhere in the video. Thanks. So it's not PVC. It's just a handlebar mount on a paddle. That's it. And I think, let me see if I can find it here. Let's go to Amazon. Amazon.com. Oh, geez. What's going on here? Let's just Google handlebar mount. GoPro mount. See what happens. Yeah, I guess just get something like this. GoPro makes one. That's kind of cool. I use one that I just found on Amazon. It's $15. It's worked for me for a long time. But it looks like GoPro makes one too right here. That's kind of cool. But something, if it'll fit around a handlebar, it'll fit around a paddle. And so, and I like having a paddle because I might need the paddle later. Like some extra PVC thingy is just going to potentially be useless. So I'm going to, I'm just going to say like, have a paddle, then have a paddle with you and then get the GoPro mount. Maybe bring an extra GoPro mount because sometimes they break. But my advice too, I noticed in the Grand Canyon was if your boat flips and you pull to shore, your GoPro mount is stuck in the mud and will break off when you roll full. When you flip it back over. And so that's why I would say paddles are good because you should have multiple paddles. If the PVC mounts go straight up and when the boat flips, they get stuck in the mud, the paddle, you basically put it under some bags and have it come back off the back tube and it's less vertical. So I think if you're probably not going to break a paddle like you'd break a PVC mount, but you could, then you lose your GoPro. So I would say it's a long way of saying bring a paddle and bring a handlebar mount for a GoPro. And even better than a paddle is a sup paddle, because especially an adjustable sup paddle, because they can go longer or shorter. So actually, I think that's what I had on the Grand Canyon was a sup paddle. And then I could adjust how far out the GoPro was if I wanted to. All right. Video breakdown, please. Maybe you've seen this. If not, you're welcome. You guys rock. All right, let's see what we got here. This is the last question. Let me figure out how to open this up. This is video review. Daniel, have you ever done video review?
No.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Are you just going to watch it over there? That can be good enough. All right. Let me see if I can pull this up. All right. I can't. I can skip it. Okay. We did review this. Let me turn the audio down. We did review this. The air. Yeah. This is somewhere on the Green River, I think, in Utah. And a boat flips and wraps. There's a whole bunch of things that happen. And I remember her in a minute, they see a swimmer, somebody swims, and they go, swimmer rope. Like, and they talk about throwing a rope at a raft. So that was a weird thing. So I'm going to try to do a fairly quick video. Let's go back a second to here. So right away, pops an oar downstream or right there, boom, puts it, or these, let me pause it. Those are strokes you shouldn't be doing. So when you're sideways to the river, you don't get to use your downstream oar like that. So right away, I'm like, okay, this isn't the most experienced boater I've seen, right? These, you cannot take these deep strokes. You're just not allowed. Dan, you taught me that probably on this river. This is Gates of Lodore. This is where you taught me how to do this. So, and then his oar pops. Well, luckily it didn't break. Gets it back in, then back on the job. So gets the boat facing downstream, is doing some nice pulling. I think it's nice. The oars seem like the right length, which is good. Usually a lot of times the oars are the wrong length. He's got oar weights, what are those called? When there's weight on the oars? Counterbalances, which I'm not a fan of. I think it's by slowing down his reaction time. Right now, he should not be pushing. Like, he needs to get left. I know he needs to get left. This should, like, there's no reason he doesn't turn that boat around to pull. Look how hard he's struggling to push. Like, this should be a really easy pull to the left. Right, Dan?
Well, yeah. Well, the other piece of, like, going inside of a turn, it turns out it's a lot easier to get back out.
Yeah, like, should have started the inside.
Like, you can start on the inside, you can always do whatever you want.
Yeah. So right now, like, he has to get left. There's carnage on the right. Turn that boat around and pull. There is no business pushing. Look, this is ridiculous. This to me is frustrating. And he looks like he's about to hit the rock sideways. Also, oh man, when you push, when you're pushing a move like that, you're coming up to the rock sideways. If you pull, you can. Oh, Jesus, I saw a swimmer in there. Let me just finish this discussion. So when you're pushing, you're exposed to the rock. Like, he's going to hit that rock sideways because he's pushing. If he's pulling away from the rock, he'll hit it with his bat. And so it's just, this is a very aggressive move to push, and you have to be really good to do it. And this person rowing is not, he's probably fine, but he's not really good. And then right there, that swimmer. So there's some boat stuck. There's a swimmer on the rock. Yikes, doesn't look like a great place. And this is where that person in the front grabs the throw bag and yells, swimmer rope. They should not be throwing, hitting the rock. There's no reason there should be, I remember this vividly. There's no reason to throw a throw bag from a rope, from a boat. I mean, there's maybe one, I don't know, maybe there's like one in 1,000 reasons. I don't think they throw the rope, but that was their first instinct. There are boats. Let the person swim to the boat, get the boats to the person. I'm glad they didn't deploy a rope there. And I want to debunk the thing, like, just because there's a swimmer, the answer is not rope. There's a lot of ways to get swimmers, and ropes are like not the one we should default to. So he's walking up here, checking out the scene, and looks like just a boat stuck. I'd say my impression right now is, there's a lot of ways people can get hurt here. It looks like there's people could drop off little cliffs. There's ropes people could get tangled, that rope right there, somebody could get tangled up in. There's probably some civvy things down there. My number one goal right now would be, let's just not let anybody get hurt. And it looks like they're slowly figuring out. I don't like that rope that's out because somebody it's on a boat, it looks like, too. Yeah, so that rope that's like just unfurled, like if that boat comes free, it could get tangled around somebody's foot and pull somebody off this rock, which would be pretty painful. Well, look, it came free. Who's going to get that boat? Oh, there's a big boat down there. Yep. So they got the boat free. Bet that rope's still attached to it. Hopefully it didn't get caught on somebody's foot. And somebody down there will deal with that. And then we have person on the rock, which that person could just jump in and swim this rapid. It's not a big deal. Right? We don't need to rescue this person. That person can just, this rapid's not that big of a deal. Just go, unless they're hurt, just go for a swim. So I remember, scroll ahead a little bit. So I think they're doing some fancy rope work here. Yeah, all these ropes are scaring me right now. They're probably important, but these ropes are a lot of opportunity for people to get tangled in them and dragged downstream. And again, like everybody's safe right now in this moment, but all that rope right there next to her is dangerous. I don't like that. So more of this. More of this. Oh, this is from somebody's GoPro, so we got something going on here. See, all that tangled rope is just so gnarly. Somebody needs to be on rope patrol. Looks like they're pulling the oars off to carry them around. Yeah, see, his foot is on top of the rope. It's just so scary. They got the oars. They got to carry those oars around later. So, I don't know. They're doing something. They're having fun. I'm going to scroll ahead. Looks like they got the boat around. Nobody got tangled in ropes from what I can tell. They're pulling on it. So they're just going to use ropes to pull it around. That sounds smart. They're pushing and they're pulling. All right. Oh, there it goes free. Get it free. And they just want to take it down this channel on the left. Sorry for the cough, everyone. I'm going to say, too, if I guarantee this cat boat, try to push this move as well. Like, I think this is the problem with everybody who's like, oh, push, got to push rapids, push this, push that, is that people don't learn to pull properly. And I know that pushing will get you through 90% of things, but this is not that 90%. And so I wish they would, if they'd pulled, I think there's a sieve right, this is just nasty over here. There's no reason anybody should be over here. And that rope tangle right there is just gnarly. I don't know what, they need to fix that. They need to do rope management, just slow down and do rope management. All that rope down there that's free just makes me nervous. I do remember from watching this before, there was a lot of yelling going on too. Like I felt like there was a lot of like high tension stuff. And I think the perspective is like the key here is like everybody here is safe. Nobody has gotten hurt. Like, we're all alive. Nobody's hurt. There's nothing to get stressed about. Let's take our time. Let's get this off. But there's no reason to be super tense here. We should be doing this methodically and slowly. Put somebody in charge so that there's some leadership. Hopefully somebody's watching the whole thing. I guess that's what GoPro guy's doing, just to make sure there's no crazy safety things. But again, this is – nobody's going to hurt yet. Now, she is downstream of those ropes. So this boat's – if it comes off, those ropes are just going to clothesline her. That's a really not awesome position. So luckily this is a cap boat. If this is a raft, it'd be super wrapped. Oh, they get the person off the rock too. That's nice. I wonder if I missed that by skipping ahead. And the other thing I think about a lot is what happens after when this boat, when they're pulling on the ropes, when they finally comes off, what's the aftermath look like? Who's going to get the boat? Where's it going to go? She's pulling on a rope. She's downstream of the rope. She could easily move herself upstream of that one rope she has. Yeah, when that boat comes off, it's just going to yank her off. Oh, yes, hero jump. That is awesome. What do you think of the hero jump?
I love the hero jump.
Is that somebody on the boat in the water? I think, wait, yeah, no, somebody.
No, no, no.
Wait, something.
Oh. I think it's gear.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there we go. It came off. There's ropes everywhere.
There you go. Yeah, hero guy needs the rope now that the boat's free.
Yeah. And now it's pretty much done. They got the boat off. Nobody fell in. Nobody got tangled by ropes.
Hero guy can just jump on the boat. It's good to go.
He probably needs to push it off a little bit. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here because this is... Oh, geez, more ads for Icelandic lamb. All right, well, I think I've had enough of this one. All right, let's get to lots of questions here. Okay. Oh, my gosh, lots of questions have come up since we've been here. Okay. I broke a cheap mount and lost a camera. I paid extra for the GoPro mount since. Yeah, I mean, you're going to break them, whether they're GoPro ones or cheap ones, but yeah. And the thing about GoPros is if you're going to use them, you're going to lose them. So if you can't afford to lose a GoPro, just get a cheap camera because you will lose GoPros. It really sucks when somebody loses a GoPro and it ruins their trip. And so if you can't, if the cost of a GoPro, get like a GoPro 4, like go on eBay, find the old ones, they work fine. If you have a brand new GoPro 11 and it has all your footage from 14 days of the Grand Canyon on it and you lose on day 15, is going to ruin your trip because you lost the camera, which is expensive, and you lost the footage. The other thing is I would switch SD cards every few days and just store them somewhere because losing the footage is a bummer. Have you seen the SDG toilet system? I don't think so. Let me see if I can pull it up here. It's good to see a private whitewater. I just don't know why we need a new toilet system. Oh, I can't. I closed the browser, but I haven't seen it. I'm excited to hear what you think. The Selway toilet is so good. I can't imagine we need anything else. Let's see if I can figure out how to open up a link to this. SDG toilet system. Cody, have you tried the Johnny Partner? I think you told me you don't like it for some reason. I can't remember what it was. Let's add your screen. So this is it. It looks like it fits inside of a box. So $945. It has to be really good to justify that price. Wow, $945. Huh. I'm excited to hear about it. I just, again, like I can't imagine this. I can't imagine not just getting a Selway. A float case. Yeah, you can get the float case of the GoPros. That's smart. I would get the floating cases for sure. But on the Grand Canyon, we had a guy who flipped and his GoPro mount got stuck in the mud and we flipped it back over. It broke off. He lost his GoPro and all his footage. It was a bummer. I personally like a sub paddle mount off the backside corner of the raft. Yep. I think a sub paddle is the way to go. I like the rear side perspective better than the center. Oh, interesting. I like the centered for rowing. For paddle boating, I could see the back corner. But the sub paddles are longer and they're, if you get an adjustable one, they're pretty sweet. Yeah, couple of rope. They had a lot of rope out there. That was not great. She made this video already. I'll ask you next week if needed, but I want to build a cataract frame for a 16-foot boat. Needs to carry gear. What dimensions do you think? Oh, man. I mean, that's what dimensions for a cataract frame? I don't know. I would say a good standard for catboats is 36 inches between the tubes. But, man, I have not made a frame about how to make – I have not made a video about how to make a cataract frame. Okay. I really want to do the stretch. Looks fun. Yeah, big yikes for sure. It's 100% a pull move. Undercut wall on the river right with strainer and the boulders in the right at the end. Pull left off the wall and pull right. Yeah. It's just so frustrating to me. It's just so, so frustrating to me. When you see people talk online, or we have students in our rowing schools, or even other rowing instructors who teach push, 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 push. And they say, you don't want to pull because you don't want to fight the river. Yeah, of course you don't want to fight the river, but sometimes you have to. And so I think we need to learn as boat people, is that the right term? Boat persons, boat oars people? Dougie Fresh is over here. As boaters, we need to have three techniques. Push, pull, downstream ferry. If you can't competently do all three of those, please don't come to me and say you're like some class five boater. And if you're telling people to only push, that's a disservice, because that's how mistakes like this happen. You probably need to pull 8% of the time and downstream ferry 2% of the time. But that 10% is critical to success in boating. We had pushing enthusiasts on the Grand combined with poor timing, momentum management. It made editing out a real challenge, not to mention, yeah, don't get me started about pushing enthusiasts this summer. Same thing, like there's people who want to push into eddies and they come in crashing full speed in the eddies, which cause problems for everybody else. It's just absolute, absolute nonsense. And this topic just makes me so mad. How is the Iceland scout mission for future trips? Looks like fun for the pics and footage. Yeah, I mean, I'm still here in Iceland. I have a cold. It's cold here. I've been sick for about a week now. I saw some awesome rivers. It's an interesting place to offer a trip. I have to wrap my brain around that more. The one river that's really commonly commercially done, the East, has one really hard rapid that I saw so much carnage in. So, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I got to wrap my brain around it when I get home, but I'll be home in a few days. So, well, thanks everybody for watching. That's the end of the show. Any final words, Freshie?
I have a question about the subway thing.
What is the question? Oh, you have a question.
Like the subway fabrication thing. I have a buddy who doesn't use it anymore because it stinks when he rows it. Like, what's he doing wrong?
Back to the subway question. I have a friend with the subway shitter and he doesn't use it any longer because it stinks when he's rowing with it. Is he doing something wrong? Is it you? Real. Are you the buddy?
No, this is Eric. Like Barnes.
Wait, when it has shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a groover. They smell.
Yeah, but you have your little eco, what this thing's called?
The eco safe toilets?
Yeah, like that doesn't stink, but somehow the subway one does for them. Like, I'm for real speaking for a friend. This isn't me.
Okay, so some of the metal toilets don't stink as much because they're like, the lids lock on like way tighter.
Yeah.
But because of that, because they lock on way tighter, they're harder to get off too. So like some of them, they started getting hard to get off. And you're like, I remember with the Johnny Partners, you ever do that thing where we had to like pry it open with the bars?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because they're so tight that over time they just kind of locked into place. So I think the plastic allows for a little bit more like poop air to get out. So yeah. I accept that my groover's gonna smell like poop, and I put the chemicals in there to minimize the smell, but they're gonna smell like poop.
So, is that like a generally accepted thing for most people out there? And we're like, hey, I kind of want something to poo in that doesn't stink like poo when I'm rowing in it, because I have to hang out in this boat all day.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't. It doesn't smell that bad.
It smells like poo. Like, according to my buddy Eric.
I mean, it smells like poo, but have him get the chemicals and put chemicals in there.
Well, that might be the answer. Like, I mean, that's not always not doing it.
Yeah, like if it's just poop in the groover and there's no like chemicals for the smell, it's going to smell like poo. You're probably right, though, that the metal ones smell less than the plastic ones. I never thought about that. But it's not an issue for me because I put the chemicals in there.
Well, yeah, or you have somebody else rode poo. Because you own the company.
I rode poo the other day. Wait, I rode poo on the Tuolumne trip. I didn't own the company. They're like, you take the poo boat. And it was a subway toilet, and it smelled like poo a little bit.
Right.
Because they didn't have the same. We have really good chemicals. They had inferior chemicals. So that's a good point. Maybe they smell like poo. Good question, Dan Martin. You could have just asked me. Oh. Yeah, and don't you add some enzyme that makes it smell less like shit and more like peach? Yeah, we have this stuff, and it's like, I gotta find it. I'll share it on another episode. If somebody asks me another week, I'll share it on a different episode. So thanks everybody for watching. We have a new member, Lance. Thank you for becoming a member, Lance, and thanks for everybody's support. I'm sorry I have a cough and I'm not feeling too good today, but I'll be back home in a week. And we'll probably start doing more live shows starting up in a week. All right. Thanks, everyone. Dan, Dougie, anything to add?
No, we're good.
Inspiring.